Welcome to the Microsoft IT Pro Podcast, a show about Office 365, Azure, and the IT Pro and end user side of life. Each week, we'll discuss a different topic or recent news related to Office 365 and Azure and how it relates to you as an IT Pro. The Microsoft IT Pro Podcast is never longer than 30 minutes, so let's get started. Here we are again, Scott. Another day, episode 49.
49. Ugh, it's getting there.
I know. Three episodes away from the big 52, which if we had actually done this every week would be a year. But since we did a whole bunch of bonus ones at Ignite, we're still a little short of doing this a year. I think a year's coming up in April, but we're getting close.
Here we go. Well, I prepared my voice today. I did my voice exercises, sang a little opera, you know, gargled some vodka. I'm all set. Let's go.
Can we get the opera on the recording next time?
Some things are best left to the imagination.
That we should make a new intro with Scott singing opera.
And listeners drop.
Yes. All right. Anyways, we should probably dive into our topic today instead of just kind of yammering away.
I see what you did there.
That was terrible.
It was pretty bad. So let's get back into news because it's that time again. And ooh, stuff is moving and churning and all sorts of new features coming out. And since you mentioned Yammer, why don't we talk about some of the new stuff that's coming out in Yammer, which apparently still exists. It was a surprise to me when I saw this pop up.
I know. I was like, 2018, no new Yammer stuff. Oh, wait, here it all comes again.
Which one do you want to start with?
You can now see your scene counts for conversations in Yammer. So as you have conversations now in Yammer, as you put posts in Yammer, now you can see who's actually reading it. So the first post, it shows the number of unique users that have seen the first message in the conversation. However, these will only show if at least one person has seen it. So if you're like me and you're an organization of one and you put something in Yammer, you probably won't ever see a scene count because, let's face it, there's nobody else to read it. Because the creator of the conversation is also not included in the count. So this, again, just kind of gives you some extra analytics around, hey, are people actually reading my message? How many people have seen it? Are there only five people in my entire organization that actually go into Yammer and use it? Just, I don't know, kind of a nifty little feature.
You know, I'd imagine this would be pretty good for internal communication departments or, you know, marketing, HR, things like that. So, hey, we're doing our new health and wellness initiative and we posted it to the general feed. You know, did people actually see it there? Did that lead to engagement over inside of our groups or, you know, sub areas, things like that? So I don't think it'll be, it doesn't seem like they built it to be like an Instagram or like a Facebook gratification thing, right? Like, please come in and like my post or, you know, put a heart on it and we'll see what happens there. Because they've always had those features, right? But I think this, you know, again, gives maybe those internal communication departments a better way to gauge what's going on without having to go to an admin and say, hey, do you have analytics on Yammer? Because sometimes you do, sometimes you don't, depending on the metric that folks are looking for and what's coming into play there.
Exactly. So, yeah, kind of handy. So there's another one out here around some more integration with Yammer and Azure Active Directory too.
I like this one. So Yammer's had the option for a while now to integrate with Office 365 Identity. And really, if you think about it, being kind of a subservice in Office 365, it's actually a good thing that it's pinned there, right? Basically, we have one source of truth for who everybody is and what's going on and all the happenings and you know, all that good stuff. So as of a little bit, February 15th, they're going to start using the display name straight from Azure AD. So in the past, users would have had the option to go into Yammer and update their display name, and then that wasn't written back or, you know, it could be a little bit different. So I could be Scott over in SharePoint, and I could be, you know, Unicorn Wizard Guy over in Yammer, because, you know, they would let you do that kind of thing. And that's all kind of going to go away, and now you're going to get one version of a person and one version of a name, which will be really nice.
I'm frankly surprised it took this long to get this one, because like you said, as they keep integrating this into the core Office 365, it's nice to just have that one source, and I didn't even realize that it's been this way for so long that you could have two different names, one in Yammer and one in Office 365.
Yeah, I mean, you can do all sorts of things, right? It's like sometimes your profile picture syncs and sometimes it doesn't. You can be different people all over, depending on day of the week, phase of the moon, all that good kind of stuff.
Fun times. So there was one other, oh, nope, sorry, there's two other ones. But this one other Yammer announcement was kind of interesting. You now have group types in Yammer. So this started back the beginning of January. If you go and create a new group in Yammer, now you have the option to choose how you plan to use the group. So they have three categories right now: inform and discuss, connect and learn, plan and work. And really all this does right now is it gives you a different icon when you see your groups to highlight what category the person chose when they created the group. And it also gives you a kind of a different description underneath the group header that kind of just tells you what category it is. So right now it's more classification. There's no new features, no changes to the group, no differences in the group right now, other than just those two things. I can imagine this is going to change. I know they said there's some stuff coming on the roadmap, especially as it ties into Office 365 groups and creates those. I can see where they're going. They need to get some uniformity there between Yammer groups and Office 365 groups and how this works, but this is kind of interesting.
I would just be careful with the word classification, right? Because there are things called, you can classify Office 365 groups already, right? Where we can pin in our custom values in there and at group creation time have them come in. So it's a little bit weird that this is a feature that's not built into that, right? It's not surfacing those classifications that already exist, because Yammer groups are Office 365 groups and kind of, sort of, they're tied into the same backend and everything as far as their email address, SharePoint site, OneNote notebook, you know, display name, all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. This is another one of those weird disconnected ones, right? Like the Yammer team was probably working on something and they're like, oh, Office 365 groups does that too. Oh, well, let's just go ahead and release ours and not worry about integrating with theirs.
Yeah, the only way I could kind of see this shaping up is like inform and discuss. Maybe that then creates a communication site with an Office 365 group. Plan and work does a team site. I have no idea what connect and learn would do, but I don't know if they're positioning it that way. Again, they have stuff on the roadmap. We're going to kind of see how this...
It's a little weird, right? So they've never, even on Office 365 groups, they've never come and they've been very forward that all of these things, like when you classify a group, they're just labels, right? They might surface something in the UI. Maybe you have like a different icon or things get grouped a little bit differently. Like this feature in Yammer, you know, you're going to have your Yammer groups grouped by their headers for, you know, this feature when for their group type when it comes in. Yeah, the hip bone connects to the We'll see where it goes, right? But you know, this is making the assumption that, you know, again, you're deep into Yammer, you're using Yammer every day, you're going to be hopping in, you're going to be seeing those things. Initially, a lot of these features that we've talked about, right, they're only going to be surfaced in the web client. You're not going to see them in like the mobile apps or things. So those might take a while to come to, just for some more unification across that platform.
Yep. And we'll link, they have an Ignite session where they talked about some of these. I apparently did not watch it, probably because it was labeled Yammer. And I figured Yammer roadmap was just go run and jump off a cliff. It wasn't that. So we'll put a link to this in the show notes. Maybe I should watch it.
Maybe.
See what's on the Yammer roadmap or on these
group you know, if I'm feeling froggy, maybe I'll go waste an hour of my life. But sure, let's do it. So one other one for Yammer to kind of wrap it up. They are adding a new feature to allow you to move Yammer conversations between groups. So that's really any type of conversation, because I can have a post, I can have polls and praise and things like that. So now you'll be able to take those, and if you accidentally put it in the wrong group, or it turns out You know, it just wasn't the right place for that to be surfaced. It was really supposed to go over here. In the past, we would have had to delete the post and then go repost it someplace else and say, oops, sorry, I did that. Now we can just go ahead and move it right out and put it in kind of the right security construct if it's needed, right? Like a private versus a public group or whatever it happens to be. So if you have rights to the group you posted to and the group you're going to move that conversation to, you're all set. Now you can go ahead and slide that stuff around.
Or you can just really mess with your teammates when they're trying to find messages. Not that I would ever do that.
Really? I'm going to have to see like a screen share of the way you do Yammer for one and how you mess with yourself.
Yeah. It gets kind of boring after a while.
All right.
Anyways, now that we have successfully spent about 10 minutes talking about Yammer.
Who knew? Who saw that one coming?
I know. How about we move on to some other news?
I think we can kind of hop around a little bit because there's all sorts of stuff that's out there. One of the really exciting ones that I saw was they finally demoed and kind of announced OneDrive for Business File Restore. So this is holistic restore of your OneDrive for Business. So you'll be able to go back and kind of have a date picker UI thing to go ahead and just slide your entire OneDrive back in time. So say you had a catastrophic event or an errant sync or whatever it happened to be, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, my whole OneDrive is hosed up. Well, maybe it was good yesterday. So you're just going to go into the web UI, slide a little slider back, and it's going to restore your whole OneDrive back a day. You're going to have indications for sync activity or file activity, things like that. So you'll kind of know what's going on. The other great use case for this is, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but Microsoft for maybe about a year, year and a half now, they've had a white paper that they publish around on kind of the back end to customers where they talk about OneDrive for Business being really awesome in ransomware and malware situations where you have like file encryption because, hey, it's all versioned, right? Up to like 500 versions back for each file. So you just go ahead and roll it back. One of the problems with that and the way they published it was they just said, hey, it's a thing, but they never gave you guidance on how to do it. So if you wanted to actually do that for a user, you had to script it out or roll your own thing or in general, kind of like fight your way through it. So now you've got this thing where I can just go one click, restore my entire OneDrive, not just a single file, back to a snapshot in time over the last 30 days, which is really freaking awesome.
This was cool. I remember seeing this demo at Ignite. And I was like, no, that is cool, especially like you said, around that ransomware, all your files get encrypted just within a few clicks, going back and restoring to a day ago before all your files got encrypted. I love this feature. I was going to try to give it a test out before we recorded today. I haven't actually tested it yet, but I'm glad to see that finally coming.
Yeah. Like I said, they've had guidance out there that says, hey, this is a feature, and they did announce it, but they've, for like at least a year now, they've had a white paper out there that talks about kind of some of those file protection scenarios, and they just never gave any guidance on how to do it. So really cool that, like I said, that one's out and about and ready to go. And I kind of consider that a little bit of like a security mechanism, right? Like we talk about like ransomware, malware, things like that. One of the other really cool things that came out in that vein to kind of take it over to Azure for just a second was we've had all these things for conditional access policies for a long time, right? So conditional access policies let you do things like say, hey, for a given service that authenticates through Azure AD, let's take SharePoint Online or OneDrive, right? I always want to make sure that my users come in from this IP range or they're only in this group and you know, they have to be in this security group to go ahead and access it, things like that. So that's all well and good. They're going to pull over some more conditional access policies from Intune into Azure AD. So now you're going to get consolidated views of the world. And then one of the other really cool things there, and I've been playing around with this, I don't know if you have seen this one, they came out with a tool called the Conditional Access What If tool. Did you hear about this one?
I heard about this one. I didn't read anything about it yet, but it sounded kind of handy for trying to determine all those conditional access scenarios.
Yeah. So one of the problems with these things is policies are a little bit weird when you structure them, right? Because it's users, groups, potentially cloud apps. It's both inclusive and exclusive things. And it can be a little strange. And then you're trying to test it well, do you test it with your account, but maybe you're going to lock your account out of something, or it's just weird. So now they effectively took, think about like running a PowerShell commandlet, right, that has what if support. Now we've got the same thing for conditional access policies through the UI. So what you can do is you can go in against, really what it is when you're thinking about building a policy. So you'll go in, you're going to have a new what if button on your policy screen inside of Azure AD. You'll go ahead and configure it with the configuration items you're looking for, right? So cloud apps, IP addresses, device platforms, client apps, whatever it happens to be. And then you can actually go ahead and evaluate that. And what it'll do is it'll tell you existing policies that'll apply based on those controls, policies that will not apply, things like that. So if you think about like wanting to lock a user and make sure, you know, they can only get to like AWS from the corporate network, but maybe your network guys haven't told you the right IPs or not keeping ranges up to date, things like that. You can actually go in, work with that user and just say, hey, what if? Oh, cool. This one's going to apply to you. This one's not. And then you can go back and kind of tweak those policies and controls as needed. So I think that is super duper awesome.
Yeah, that one, that is a nice tool and will come in very handy trying to configure some of those policies.
Yeah, and that's available in all directories now. So all good and ready to go.
All right. So another one is, in that same vein, Intune is finally starting to, they're actually starting to pull some of the stuff completely out of the old Intune Classic, believe it or not, still written in Silverlight, Intune portal, and get all of that over into Azure and into the Azure management portal for Intune. So they announced this week that starting on April 2 of this year, so another few months, they're going to turn off mobile device management and the classic Silverlight console for those customers using Intune standalone. And you're going to have to start using Intune in the Azure portal for MDM for Windows 7, 8, 10, all of that. There still will be some of the old classic PC management that will be left in Silverlight, but they're really starting to try to get rid of that old classic Silverlight portal. Let's face it, it only works in like one or two browsers now. So it's good to see them getting this over into Azure and out of that Silverlight portal.
You know, progress, we continue to march forward, all that good kind of stuff.
Yeah, so what other ones? SharePoint. There was another SharePoint one I wanted to talk about. We're going to jump all over the place today.
Well, you're doing that one just because you have the note in here. Microsoft Forms has GA'd. It's out of preview. Enough said.
Yeah, we didn't have much else around that one.
You know, it's funny. I still get people that reach out and say, hey, you know, I'm trying to do this like form thing and is it Power Apps? And just go do a Microsoft form. You're licensed for it.
get
it done. You're all set. You got this. Like, huh? Just go to forms.office.com and life will be okay.
Yeah. So another, well, I'm not going to do that one yet. We can jump back to that one. The one I wanted to hit was, this is what I've been waiting for, is the file move in SharePoint Online and OneDrive for Business. Now, so we've had move for a while, but now it lets you move it to anywhere in Office 365. So in the modern UI, for a long time, you've actually been able to do copy. So you could go to OneDrive, you could go to any of your site collections, any of your group sites, anywhere in SharePoint, select a file in the modern UI, click on copy, and you could copy it to anywhere. So you could copy a file from your OneDrive to one of your groups or from OneDrive to another location in SharePoint. So they had that for copy. Move, you could only move it within that library. So if you were in OneDrive and you wanted to use the move functionality, you could only move it to another folder within your OneDrive, another location within that site collection. Just recently now, move, they enabled that same functionality that they have in copy. So I can now move a file from OneDrive to any of my group sites. So this is really nice. I'd have several clients, I do it myself, where maybe when you're first working on a file, you just have it in your OneDrive, it's in that draft state, you're fiddling around with it, revising it, fine-tuning it. And then once you're done with it, you're like, okay, I'm ready to share this with my team. I want it out in my team's group site or in my team's group.
You want it in a SharePoint site that exists someplace else.
Yes, I want it in a different place in my SharePoint environment. Now, instead of doing like a copy and delete, I can actually just move that file to that site, takes it out of OneDrive. I think this is a really cool feature, especially as you kind of help people differentiate between what do you do in OneDrive, what do you do in groups, and being able to move files around between those places.
This is going to be a great feature. So a couple of things. This does not negate the need for migration tools if you're doing like big bulk migrations, right? So this is not a migration feature. It also does have some limitations when it comes to like metadata and files, right? And ensuring that metadata is the same on both sides. I haven't seen any clear guidance on whether it's going to do like content type inheritance and, you know, like cross-site collection kind of things like that and everything that's going into that. It is really great for that scenario that you described, right? Especially for like OneDrives, because OneDrives don't have custom columns. They don't have custom content types typically for either of those, right? And it can screw things up if they do. So just having pure files, which is just a thing, right? It's a construct with, you know, version history and document metadata like created by and updated by. That stuff's super portable to go ahead and push it around. It's not going to pull things like permissions or anything else. So not a migration tool. It is a, like you said, a file move tool, right? So this is kind of like you moving Yammer conversations. It's let's take the construct and put it in the right place where it actually needs to be.
Yep. And if you do want to do migration, the SharePoint migration tool and the SharePoint migration assessment tool from Microsoft. So this isn't a third party. Microsoft is now generally available as well.
Yay!
Again, I think we've talked about this a little bit before. We don't need to spend a ton of time on this one, other than say it's generally available. If you're just doing basic migrations, this tool is great. You don't have to go out and buy a third party. This does not take care of complex migration scenarios where you're trying to go from like 2007 to 2016 or online and remap content types and metadata and restructure everything. This is not going to help you with that. It will help you get off of that home directory into OneDrive or help you do a very basic bulk file migration from file system up into SharePoint Online.
Right. Scope to files, like you said, like let's think about it that way. And really great for like, file share scenarios would be the awesome one, right? Let's go ahead from our on-prem, maybe like SMB or NTFS shares and go ahead and move those over to the world's most expensive file storage inside of SharePoint. You know, the world is your oyster if you have the right tools to run.
Yes, but now in OneDrive, it may be expensive, but you are protected from ransomware.
I am, and once I put it into OneDrive, I can move it back out through a web UI. You know, it's just like, it's a great collaboration story.
What other news item do you want to talk about?
Let's talk about some admin stuff. So the new admin center for SharePoint Online, that's going to be coming online. So, you know, that's been kind of hanging out in preview. People could sign up for preview and kind of have that available in their tenancies a little bit earlier. But now they've announced that early-ish February timeframe, everyone's going to have access to that new admin center experience. So that's the one they demoed back at Ignite, gives you modern UI. You're going to have the ability to see your group sites, your SharePoint sites, all those kinds of things all in one place. A little bit more one-click access. And, you know, slowly but surely, they've been able to collapse some of that other functionality from the old admin center over. So it's kind of now ready to go. It will continue to run side by side, just because there's not 100% feature parity and there's some backward compatibility things. So depending on like making a specific configuration change to your SharePoint tenancy, you might be going back to the old one for a couple things.
Yes, I would. So unless they're going to roll out a massive update, I am in the preview of this one. I've been looking at it. I would say there's probably not even 25% of the features in the new admin center yet. So not even jumping back and forth sometimes. When I'm in it, I jump back and forth a lot. They're getting there. Again, I'm envisioning that when they roll this out in early February, they're probably going to light up a bunch more features in that new admin center. But I think this is still very much going to feel preview-ish in that you'll be able to do some things in it. The big thing, like you said, is manage the site collections. That is where a lot of their focus has been up until this point, is managing group sites, giving you a nice interface to manage all these new site collections that you can't see in the current admin center, but a lot of the other stuff, any user profile stuff, any search settings, anything related to InfoPath, if you are still using that, all of those types of settings still have not lit up for me in that new online admin center.
Yeah. It's because they're not there, right? They're a ways off. I think it depends on what you do, right? If your primary role as a SharePoint admin is to go in and just look at sites and see quotas and see what's going on, and you want to see everything across the environment, maybe PowerShell's not your thing, you haven't scripted it out, like, hey, now you've got another tool in the toolbox, right? So go ahead and make that happen. But like you said, for all that older stuff, or really the stuff you might do on a little bit more of a one-off, like a tenancy kind of basis, or even like hopping back over to users, things like that, user profiles, you're going to be hopping back into the old experience. So I think we have time for one more. So one other feature that's coming in regards to, you know, being able to see more of your data and do more with it is bulk metadata editing for your SharePoint environments for SharePoint Online, right? So this is coming out right about now if you are in targeted release for your tenant to let it come onto you. But effectively, this is starting to bring back the old like edit and data sheet functionality just without a crappy ActiveX DLL, right? So modern UI, and now we can go ahead and do bulk metadata edits within our environment.
Okay, you left me time for one more.
No, I didn't.
I wanted to hit this one because I've been playing with this and I think it's kind of cool. Microsoft kind of slipped it out there with some updates to Teams and a few people caught into it. Hyperfish actually has a really good article about it that we'll link to in the show notes. But Microsoft Teams Hubot is now available in preview for Teams. So this is, if you have a really rich AD structure, which obviously Hyperfish, their goal is to kind of help you really fill out all of your information in AD, you can use this Hubot to really look at people, figure out how people are connected to each other. You can view an org chart. So in the new interface for Teams, you can now do, they have a command bar up at the top that lets you do slash commands similar to Slack. And you can do a slash who and type in something like slash who and then Scott. And it'll give me a list of all the Scotts in my organization. I can pick from them right from there. I can send them emails, start chatting with them. I can call them in Teams. I can view their manager, view their colleagues, see where they are in the org chart. So almost like a new people directory. Think of people search in SharePoint. This is kind of similar to that, only it's a bot or a tab that you can now surface in Teams to help you look up, find those various people within your organization.
So it's both an app and a bot, which is pretty cool. And you can go ahead and chat back and forth with it. So once you've initiated your first chat, like you can go and continue that forward in things like the mobile experience and have access to them. It is pretty feature light at this point. It didn't seem to be exactly, I think, whatever had everybody kind of like worked up when they first demoed it, but it is, it's hanging out there, right? And it is available to go ahead and add in and have available to you. It's only available in like your, as far as I've seen, like only available in like your primary tenancies for Teams. So like if you're like an external guest or like a member in other team tenants or whatever it is, whatever we talk about it, right? I want to switch to another team that exists in another directory. I haven't been able to get like Hubot working over in those.
Yeah, I just tried it one of mine too, and I've had no luck. So
yeah. Well, I think that takes us to time.
I think so. Thanks again, Scott. Another good episode. Next week, we're going to have a guest on. We're going to leave it a surprise. We'll tempt you.
Excellent.
Your interest. Yeah. So we'll talk to you next week. Have a fun interview coming up. So hopefully you guys will tune in next week.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks, Scott. If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.